This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Breaking news coming down late Wednesday. Alex Bregman has signed a three-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox. It's being reported that Bregman turned down a six-year deal worth $170 million in favor of signing with Boston.
Jones and Keefe, Red Sox flagship station, WEEI. Whew. And let me tell you, the Red Sox have a little something to be excited about. Red Sox fans have a lot of something.
Nice shot in the arm.
To be excited about. Alex Bregman,
excited.
Now a member of the Boston Red Sox. Well, I'm excited for it. I'm still not sure.
I am. I wanted them to add some players. They added a player. I'm not going to be mad about them adding a player.
Yeah, but you're not. Well, you're not mad about it, but are you excited about it?
All right, he's coming off a career low OPS.
Yeah, this is a bad pitch to get people excited.
No, I'm just pointing out the facts. I'm not going to ignore anything here.
Okay.
I don't want him playing second base, and it sounds like he's playing second base. But, you know, that's been the talk all offseason.
You'd rather have him at second base than not have him.
Yes.
Same.
I'd rather pay him $40 million a year than not have him. I'd rather have him have opt-outs every year of his deal than not have him. It's a huge contract, but that's the thing with free agency. You're going to have to overpay. Should Juan Soto have really gotten $700 million? Like, probably not.
No.
But you needed this guy. I think he fits in a variety of ways. It's funny. I think he'd fit better at third base in the field, but he is a real leader. We're talking with Brad Foe about it. He's 30 years old. He's won two World Series. And you look around that clubhouse, you have a ton of young guys, and then the other two quote-unquote veteran guys you have that are in the everyday lineup, not the rotation, are Trevor Story, who unfortunately is hurt all the time, and Rafael Devers, who doesn't really want to be like the spokesman of the team, right? So Alex Bregman is really important in that regard, let alone his great relationship with Alex Cora when those guys were in Houston.
Imagine the schemes those two can cook up.
Oh, they're cooking some stuff up, and that's what this team needs.
No, they could use a good cheating scandal.
They need it.
It's been a while since they've been winning games, and it's been a while since they've been cheating, and you know what? They could use it. Just, so good, get those two back together.
Just adding Bregman is a no-brainer, but those pointing out that, you know, he hit 260, I'm not really worried about that. That has been like one of the few, the people who don't like the trade or the signing, which are not many, but there are some. We got some calls in the first hour of the show that didn't love it.
One of them's in the studio, yeah.
That's not me. But like, I've not pointed out his batting average. That is one thing that you hear, and you're like, all right, that's really not all that it is. So 26 home runs last year.
Yeah, the
odd thing
is,
a little bit better at Fenway Park this year in half his games. I don't know. We'll see.
The odd thing is, and you know, if you want to get real dorky about it, the people who project these things out, like if he played his full career at Fenway or versus he played his full career in Houston, et cetera. I think the home runs are actually projected to drop at Fenway, but maybe he starts peppering the wall with doubles and he gets some power back there.
Yeah.
The oddity in his numbers last season were 26 home runs, I think, and I backed out of the page.
Yeah, it's a good number.
The third highest of his career.
Yeah, so he had 2 years where he was insane.
So the home runs popped a little bit, but the overall power dropped, his walks dropped, his strikeouts went up. So like some of the quote-unquote under-the-hood metrics, if you care.
Fine, I like that.
Those are are a bit of a red flag, but I don't care about any of that.
All right,
I'm happy they signed a star player that gets us talking about the Red Sox and, you know, gets people interested in the Red Sox because I'm with Brad Foe on this. They need that desperately.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
They
What's
do.
That? Oh, it's the Red Sox. So 2020, let's throw out because it was a shortened season. And then 2021, he was hurt. He only played 91 games. So if you take the 3 years prior to that and 3 years after that, here's just his home run totals.
Okay.
31, 41.
Nice.
And then there was 2 years where he was hurt. And then 23, 25, 26. So is that what he is? Is he like a 25 home run type of guy, RBI somewhere in the 90s? Like, you know, depending on where he hits in the order. His OPS is usually in the 800s. This past year, it was 768. He did win the Gold Glove at third, and yet, by all accounts, he's going to play second base. But when you go through the lineup now, as a fun exercise, like with and without Bregman, it's significantly better with, because their three best hitters before yesterday were all lefty. Duran, Devers, and Casas. And so now you add Bregman. Fingers crossed, obviously, on the health of Story. You have those guys somewhere in your top five. And then now you're not relying on the young guys. Maybe you get something from Roman Anthony or Christian Campbell or Mayer this year. Maybe you don't. You still have, you know, Willie Abreu, who's coming off a good year. Connor Wong had a good hitter season for a catcher. Seidon Raffaello, whatever. Like, that's your lineup. You still have Yoshida as the DH. We'll see how long that ends up sticking for. But you had that before you had Bregman, right? So it's hard to really argue or complain about this one, I think.
No, so I like that he's a right-handed bat. I like that he's going to improve your defense wherever he is on the field. I mean, at second base, he will improve their defense. I think he's a better fit at third, where he won the Gold Glove last year. I think Devers focusing on hitting, not being distracted in the field, not getting himself hurt in the field, I think could actually help his bat, get his bat in the lineup more days where he's not playing through injuries or, you know, taking games off because of injury.
Yeah.
And so I think that could help Devers at the plate. But whatever, that's in a perfect world. Regardless, he's a right-handed bat, which you needed. Your best right-handed bat on the team was Trevor Story, which gets you a good, decent right-handed bat until about Marathon Monday. And then he's out of the lineup for the rest of the year. Then on top of that, you also improve your defense. So I love the Bregman deal. I don't get the people who complain about the structure of it.
I mean, the contracts are crazy in baseball. What did you want them for?
I want the Red Sox to do more contracts like this. Okay. I would love them to do high AAV, short term. I would do this with all their contracts. If you can get players to do it, I actually love this structure. $40 million for this year. He hits 40 bombs and hits 320 and he opts out. Go get the next guy and do it all over again. Or here's a crazy concept. Just pay that guy. So I have no problem with this. The downside is, and there is admittedly downside, he sucks. He opts in for the next 2 years, but then there's only a 3-year deal. It's a lot of money.
31, 32, 33. It's not like you're committed to him in his like late 30s.
So if you want to avoid guys 35, 36, 37, 38, don't give him that contract. Overpay short term. The Red Sox should do this. This is how you should act every single year in free agency. And on top of that, Keith, we're talking about Bregman. It's buzz for the team, as you said.
Oh, yeah.
Where's he fit on the diamond? You can make out a Red Sox lineup. Like, it's impossible to sit down and do the exercise of making out a Red Sox lineup when they're all interchangeable widgets who are going to be on the team for a year. You don't really care about them. You have no connection to them. You don't even know who they are. You can go through and do the exercise, selfishly for talk radio, of let's make out the Red Sox lineup. I want Bregman hitting second after Jaron Duran. Maybe you want him hitting third or fourth. You're going to have to split up the lefties somewhere in there. I want him hitting second. I'd come back after that with Devers and Casas is how my top four would look. That's what I would do. I want him at third base. Yep. But at least you can play the game when you have players who people get excited about, people know, and people are interested in. And you haven't been able to do that with the Red Sox for far too long.
Yeah, they weren't spending any money. I mean, you know, Chris Sale's, they were paying Chris Sale last year to win a Cy Young. So that money is off the books. Kenley Jansen's money is off the books. Like a few other of these guys, like they've cleared up some of their bigger contracts that they've had. And then this year, they're, you know, 2 years ago, it was full throttle. This year, it was urgency. And then they went out and
It's a hard word to define, by the way.
Which urgency. You really even can't.
Yeah.
It might be undefinable.
Yes.
And they got Garrett Crochet, which we like. But that was a trade, and he's still really cost-controlled. And then he didn't really do much else. So the fact that they even just signed a guy where the contract that they had to give out was over $100 million, that shows a pulse. That shows, like, oh, good, the team is actually still paying attention. They're interested in winning. So, yeah, again, hard to argue with. A lot of people are pointing to Bregman's career stats at Fenway Park, too, as a positive. I don't think this includes postseason, but 21 games, OPS over 1,200.
Nice.
And he's hitting 375, 7 dongs in 21 games.
Nice. Text line did point out
the home runs might drop off more at Fenway because you can't hear the trash cans on the road.
Can't hear the trash cans.
That could be part of it.
They have a big wall and left in Houston, but it's not as high.
No.
It's a big wall, though. It's like a JV monster.
The Crawford boxes.
What?
I think that's what they called those.
The Crawford boxes?
I think so.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what they're called.
Thank you.
You know, that's where they held Super Bowl media night in Houston, was at the ballpark.
Not the old Astrodome, but at the ballpark.
Minute Maid.
The juice box.
The old juice box.
We're going to put the Bruins on the clock here in a moment, but real quick, I will mix in some Red Sox phone calls. Johnny's in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy about the Bregman deal. I don't feel like taking off all my clothes and jumping in the pool quite yet. I'd wish they'd make me feel like that. I want a guy who's going to hit, you know, 40 home runs or more. But anyway, it's good to finally see them make a real money move. But I want to ask you guys, with baseball season coming back, would you give our guy Arcand in the night show the permission to run the Dong Report? Because he said he needs your permission to do it. So permission granted, I hope so.
Yeah, I grant permission, yeah.
Yeah, you can have the Dong Report.
Yeah, Arcand, if you're listening, you didn't need to ask. But yeah, make the Dong Report great again.
Tough to do the Dong Report as somebody that hosted that spot for over a year because there's so many Red Sox games.
Yeah, it's going to
eat. Now, the occasional you have like an open on like a Thursday or something.
Yeah.
Go Dong Report it up.
Yeah.
But go Dong Wild.
With our blessing.
That's right.
Which Arcand didn't need.
Nope.
Bring back the Dong Report.
You're talking to the co-creators of the Dong Report right here. pretty good company.
True.
So he mentions he wants somebody with 40-plus home runs, which I do as well. You got to remember, this isn't 1998. Do you know how many guys hit 40 home runs last year?
Okay, well, we said earlier today, 7 guys in Major League Baseball hit 300. How many hit 40 home runs? I'm going to guess 5?
4.
4.
4.
Can you name them?
All right, so it's Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Santander, and Juan Soto.
Oh, wow, Soto did hit that number. I would have got the first two.
I thought he got 40.
I wouldn't have guessed
39,
Soto.
Nick. Close.
Oh,
yeah, Ozuna and Jose Ramirez. Remember, he was trying to get 40-40. He was a dong short of the 40-40 club. Nobody covered 40-40 quite like us.
No.
Or 60-60.
No, that's something.
That's
that
true, 60-60.
Yeah, no, we covered 60-60. That I think so, other people were on that. 40-40, I don't think as many people were on.
50-50, though, for Shohei Ohtani. So basically, if you hit 40 dongs, you're going to get $700 million.
Yeah. That was a staple of Grab Bag, the 40-40 coverage.
Yeah.
We're also going to thoroughly cover Jimmy Butler, which he thoroughly covered his shorts last night in the Warriors game.
Going against a guy like this, you have a big dump in your pants.
Nick had that very ready to go.
Who is that?
I think he's talking about Tyson.
Yeah,
is that Peter McNeely?
Peter McNeely.
Yeah, Hurricane.
That's who I thought that was.
Hurricane.
Medfield Zone.
Oh, there you go.
Nice local guy.
We'll cover that.
Easy to root for.
We'll cover that in great detail in the Grab Bag coming up. Meanwhile, you want to get to your Boston Bruins, Keith?
Yeah, sure do.
I mistakenly said yesterday, it was pointed out to me when I said this on the air, that there is a roster freeze throughout the NHL. That is incorrect. Technically,
no.
Trades can be made right now in the NHL.
So I was lied to?
You're allowed to do, well, not in hockey.
By you?
No. Well, yeah, that was me.
Right? No, I thought I'd heard that somewhere else as well. I thought they were like, Four Nations, and there's a roster freeze.
So you're allowed to make transactions. You're allowed to make moves. Trade deadline is coming your way in early March. So either way, it's right around the corner. Let's put the Bruins on the clock and give you our thoughts on what the Bruins should do, and then we can get back into Alex Bregman. I forget who went first last time. Did I go first last time? Did you go first last time? You want to go first here?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right, take it away. Keith, you're the Bruins insider.
All right.
Why don't you
put me on the clock, Nick.
Put Rich Keefe on the clock. 60 seconds, please, Nick.
All right, trade deadline coming up on March 7th, but no time like the present to make some moves for the Boston Bruins. The first thing I'm going to do, and this may surprise you, I'm going to trade Brad Marchand. I know you might be shocked by this. He has a limited no-trade clause, 8 teams on that list, so there are plenty of other suitors out there. I don't know if Edmonton's on that list or not. That's one place I think you could send him. And I'm not just trading him because he said I should be fired. I'm trading him because he's in his walk year on a team that's going to miss the playoffs, and he's really the only guy you can get something for. This team needs younger, good prospects. They also need centers, so I would look for some young centers on teams as well as many high draft picks as you can possibly get. So you got to trade Brad Marchand. I don't want to do it, but you got to move on from Trent Frederick as well. You've had a hard time getting a deal done with him. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, so you give up some toughness, but they need more turnover on this team. Speaking of turnovers, Zadorov, I get rid of him the best I can. I know his contract's an albatross. You might have to pay some of it, but I move on from him.
Wow. Zadorov,
Frederick,
Marchand, I didn't see coming. Yeah. That was a real curveball there.
I didn't even get to my real hot point.
Well, you had 60 seconds. What were you doing with those? What were you doing with your time?
Fumbled it.
What was it?
You saved your hottest point for after the 60 seconds?
Now I'm not going to tell you.
What?
Wanted to play more minus Lowry. Thought he should play more.
You want to play more?
Yeah, play the kids.
Yeah, no, that
belongs. Play the young guns.
That belongs on the cutting room floor. There's no doubt about that. So the Bruins are on the clock at the trade deadline. What would you do? That was Keith in 60 seconds. Nick, why don't you put me on the clock here as well? All right, Bruins, trade deadline. Here's how I start. They should apologize to Rich Keefe. He's the number one insider in the sport. All apologies to Elliot Friedman. Show the man some respect. Be on the right side of history and hashtag stand with Keefe, which I know makes some people out there very, very angry.
That's true.
Brad Marchand, you can go pound sand somewhere else. I'm trading you for a first round pick and a prospect to the highest bidder, best that I can get. That return should help jumpstart the rebuild for the Bruins. It's also going to save them some money on their astronomical tissue budget. Next up, I continue the fire sale. I trade Morgan Geeky, whatever isn't nailed down. I'm trading Trent Frederick for the best that I can get. And I call up whatever non-prospects the Bruins have in Providence, like Fabian Lysell. You can play minus Lowry more as well if you want to.
Good.
Then I'm going to ask Lindholm and Zadorov for my money back. Finally, I tie up loose ends. I suggest Don Sweeney contacts his real estate agent. Joe Sacco, your lease is up in September. And Razor, don't be afraid of our show.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what I would say.
That's a good point.
To fix the Bruins at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Join the show. Talk to us a little bit.
I would add that.
I don't think you would agree with any of our plans. I think he thinks they're still going to win the cup.
Well, and you don't trade captains.
If you had to put him on the hot seat.
Even though the Bruins have done it a couple of times, he was on one of those teams.
NHL teams do it.
Yes.
They did it this year. So, I would say, how true do you think the reality will be to what we both sort of suggested?
I don't think the Bruins are going to do it.
Do you think they do anything?
I bet Frederick's a goner.
Yeah, maybe it's that. My fear is it's going to turn kind of into a Red Sox type of deadline from the last couple of years where there's no real clear move because it is so hard to gain ground in the NHL as well as really significantly lose ground because of the loser points and things like that. Hard to really separate yourself. So with seven games to go, they're either going to be 2 points out of a playoff spot, tied for one. Even if they play well, they're going to be in by 2 points, 1 point. And so at that point, I think when the trade deadline hits, they're going to have a 20-game sprint left until the end of the year. Are they going to really sell? I doubt it. Are they going to really buy? Probably not. I think Sweeney and Neely are like, all right, how do we just make the playoffs? But I don't think they're going to be really that much better for this year. And I also don't think they're going to be set up for the long term by any Hall either.
No. So on Thursdays, high noon-ish, we like to put something on the clock, we did today. Keith has his plan for the Bruins at the trade deadline. I have my plan for the Bruins at the trade deadline. You have yours out there. I already see these text messages rolling in, 617-779-7937. Thank God you guys don't have any power.
No.
Well, let's hear your plan. The floor is yours. We'll give you 30 seconds.
Get in here. No, 30 seconds is all you need.
It's not your show.
No.
It's our show.
Get in here.
Keith needed 75, 80 seconds for his full plan. But we're going to
really fumbled that.
We're going to give you 30 seconds out there. If you have a plan for the Bees, we'll put you on the clock. Put your money where your mouth is. 617-779-7937. We'll also get back into our Red Sox expectations. How much does this alter your expectations for the Sox? We'll do that coming up. Where would you hit Bregman, Keith? Because I like him second. I like Duran, Bregman, set the table, get those two guys on for your bigger bats. I've seen a lot of lineups where you hit Devers second, Bregman hits third. No matter what, you're going to have lefties back-to-back in this lineup.
Lineup is out.
You're super left-handed, Evan Drellick.
Stop what you're doing.
I would have Bregman there. I would hit him closer to the top of the order, and I would hit him after Durant.
A lot of the projected lineups from yesterday, just for funsies, had Devers hitting second. And a lot of teams have their best players hit second over the last several years. And you can make the case that Devers is still their best hitter. He's certainly their best power hitter, but I'd have him hit third as well, talking about Devers. So I'd go Duran, Bregman, Devers, and depending on who you're facing and kind of what bullpen they have, I might even continue the righty-lefty stagger and have Story hit fourth until he gets hurt.
I was going to say, what do you do in June?
Well, then I flip him, and maybe you have another bat at that point. Maybe one of these young guys is playing or whatever. And then after that, it doesn't really matter. You can put Abreu and Rafaela and Connor Wong in any order you want at the bottom. But, yeah, I think Bregman and Devers, we'll see. I mean, remember when Ortiz and Manny first played together, it was Manny hitting third and Ortiz hitting fourth for a while. Then they flipped that, I think, the next year. So maybe that's something Cora will tinker with, those two guys.
So where does Bregman fit? On the diamond, in your lineup, you can jump in, 617-779-7937. The floor is yours to put the Bruins on the clock. How would you approach the trade deadline? If you're Don Sweeney, you can jump in on that as well. Yes, Keith?
Good text. I mean, this is solely reliant on guys like Story and Casas specifically staying healthy. But you could have your first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, and shortstop all hit 20 bombs.
Like, I would not wager on Story, but the other three definitely should. And if Story played a full season, he would.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's all about health with Story, because even if he doesn't have a great year, like, he had 2 30-plus home run seasons in Colorado. Which
Duck boats.
Might be.
I mean, it really might be. What are your expectations for the Red Sox now that Alex Bregman is here? How does he alter those expectations? Plus, we have Kiefer Madness on the way at 12:45. All of that right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by, Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox and infielder Alex Bregman have reached an agreement on a 3-year contract worth $120 million. The deal includes opt-out options after years 1 and 2. Last season, Bregman batted .260 with 26 home runs and 75 RBIs. It's 3 wins in a row for the Celtics after last night's 116-103 victory over the San Antonio Spurs at the TD Garden. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points and 14 rebounds. The Seas entered the All-Star break with a record of 39-16. And Brad Marchand scored in the Team Canada's 4-3 overtime win over Team Sweden in last night's Four Nations face-off tournament opener. Tonight, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Team Finland. Puck drop from the Bell Center in Montreal is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
The expectation in the industry over the last couple of days was that Nolan Arenado, the third baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, was a likelier candidate to be traded to the Boston Red Sox. But the Red Sox, they approach this in a very simple way. They are going to fire their best bullet at Alex Bregman and see if he will take it. And $40 million a year says a lot. Now, you have to understand, there's a lot of deferred money in here, and the deferrals are going to take the average annual value of the contract down. But still, he was looking for a long-term deal. He had 6 years on the table, but the six-year average annual value was closer to $27, $28 million. And to go out and get $40 million to go and play second base potentially with the Boston Red Sox was just too much for him to turn down. And a Boston offseason that includes the trade for Garrett Crochet and signing of Walker Buehler looks even better now, adding a bat to this lineup that already was pretty strong, Kevin, last season.
How's Jeff Passan on the Red Sox and their signing of Alex Bregman? 3 years, 120. Some deferred money in there, opt-outs after years one and two. Personally, I like the structure. I don't get the complaining about the structure. The Red Sox should do this more. Short-term deals, high AAV, you're afraid of 7, 8, 9, 10-year deals, then don't sign them. Do this. I like the Red Sox doing this.
Yeah, I don't know what the perfect deal would really be in the mind of some fans, I guess. It's like, you want them locked up forever? Like, no, there's a lot more risk in the long-term deals. And having how many years in baseball contracts have you seen guys the last 3-4 years of their deal be a shell of themselves? So no, I like this. I'm also not like terrified that he's going to be a one and done. We saw it with JD Martinez. We've seen it with Carlos Correa. Some of these big contracts that have multiple opt-outs, guys stay. We had Bradford on last hour and he was like, he's not going to opt out with $40 million to go. I mean, he has an MVP season, sure.
Right.
But then you're still one of the teams that would absolutely be right in the bidding.
Then turn
around
and pay him. Exactly. So I guess the question becomes, will other players do this? And was this a bit of a perfect scenario where, again, he wanted to come to Boston. He had connections coming to Boston. Bradfo mentioned this as well. If you missed any of that, it's on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can go back and listen to the full interview. We'll have it on YouTube as well. But he wanted to come to Boston. The Red Sox pegged the market, and they knew he didn't want to go to Detroit. They knew he didn't want to go to
Toronto.
No, it wasn't Toronto. I keep saying that. The Cubs, I'm sorry.
Cubs.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go back to Houston. And Houston kind of treated him how the Red Sox were treating Bogarts at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, we're giving you an offer, but we don't really want you back, and we're trying to just push you out because we don't want to pay you. And maybe that's a red flag, or maybe they're cheaping out and their payrolls become too much, whatever. But can you find other players who are going to take deals like this, or are the Red Sox going to have to change their attitude? I guess we'll see. I'm not declaring the Red Sox back in any way, but if you can get players to take deals like this, I love the Red Sox doing this. And you're right. Him having an awesome year and then opting out would be a good problem to have for the Red Sox.
Yeah, and too bad he didn't sign Trevor Story to a 3-year deal. He could be all done with this.
That's a great point.
You actually should have done.
Yeah. So I'll ask you, Keith, and I'll ask our listeners out there as well, 617-779-7937. How much better does this make the Red Sox? How does it alter your expectations in terms of win total, in terms of the AL East, in terms of contending for a World Series?
So it alters them a decent amount, even though it's one guy. Yesterday at the end of the show, we both said, even though we were kind of let down by the lack of activity post-Crochet, that based on the landscape of the American League, they're a playoff team. And that was like hopeful they could be a playoff team. Whereas when you bring in Bregman, now I'm going to be disappointed if they don't. And it's going to be a real letdown if they don't make the playoffs because they're kind of set up for it now. I don't know what the glaring weakness is. It's not a perfect team by any stretch, but I think the rotation is good. I think certainly compared to other rotations, I think the bullpen is maybe where I have the biggest question mark. Like if I know Hendricks is closing and is good, like then okay. But
closer is a question mark. Closer. But if that's your biggest issue on the team, A, you can certainly address that in season.
Yep.
And B, they have guys who have done it. I don't know that I feel great about either Hendricks coming off a long stint out of baseball through no fault of his own, and Aroldis Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
They have guys who have done it. So to declare that like a massive issue would be overstating it. I agree with you.
I think the defense obviously gets better with Bregman. Now, if he was playing third, I'd like it a lot more, but he's playing second by all accounts. And Trevor Story, even though we kind of clown on him sometimes, if he's playing, he's a good defensive shortstop. So if, like, as it's constructed at this moment, before a million injuries will probably take place, like, they're a lot better. Combine that with Juan Soto left the Yankees. Corbin Burnes left the Blue Jays.
Orioles.
Corbin Burnes left the Orioles. Anthony Santander, who we were talking about, one of four guys with 40 dongs, left the Orioles as well. So some of the teams around you got a little bit worse. There's three wild card spots, for God's sake. So, yeah, I think the Red Sox definitely could be one of those teams.
Yeah, so I agree with how you're framing it. Yesterday, we left the show saying, yeah, I think they're a playoff team. But it was wishy-washy. Wasn't fully confident. Yeah. I thought they were a playoff team, but I didn't feel great about it. Today, they should be a playoff team. And as you said, it's a failure if they don't make the playoffs. They should be a playoff team. Six teams in the American League make the postseason. I think their win total right now is pegged for the mid-80s. It's probably going up. So now they should be a playoff team. Yes is the answer. Not, yeah, I think they should be a playoff team. The answer is now.
Playoffs.
Yes. And I think we said this yesterday. They just had a very small margin for error. Twitch chat is talking right now about Jaren Duran. What if Jaren Duran comes back to earth a little bit? Well, now you have some margin for error. Now you have a guy who can come in, add to the offense if there is a drop-off from Duran or a drop-off somewhere else. You needed the pitchers to hit before. You needed Crochet to have a monster season. You needed Walker Buehler to look like he did in the playoffs last year and not like he did in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, as of yesterday, you needed all those things to go right. Now you have some margin for error and some different avenues to get in the playoffs. And I also think you raised your ceiling. I get what you're saying, Keith. Any team, once you get into the postseason, can go on a run. It's similar to the Stanley Cup playoffs in that way. I agree with that. But there are certain teams you look at and say it's more likely this team is going to go on a run because they have, again, a higher ceiling. And I think you increased your ceiling. So I think they're in the mix to win the division. Yeah, the Yankees are worse to your point. The Orioles are worse to your point. The Rays are no better. They're in the mix to win the division. They could win the AL East. And if you're winning your division in a playoff team, then yes, you're a contender to win the World Series this year. And it's just,
it's maddening not to relitigate the past, but it's maddening to go back and look at the last few off seasons. The Red Sox could be doing this every year, and they willingly did not. This is the kind of move we've been begging for. People are excited about it, and they're excited not just because it's a name they've heard of, but because, I don't know, I think a lot of us think the team actually has the chance to be good for the first time in years.
Well, every time, you know, whether it was like Sam Kennedy or Craig Breslow or prior to that Heim Bloom doing an interview, it was all about them trying to convince fans and maybe even convince themselves that they actually were trying and cared as much as they have before. Where you're like, okay, your actions aren't showing that. You're all saying this stuff, like this full throttle nonsense, and then when it comes down to it, you can't outbid the Royals for Seth Lugo, or you can't get like all these different players you can't get. You're losing your own guys. You're like, but you're super into it. Like, right. You're really invested in this team.
Brian, running Twitch today, poked his head into one of the breaks, and he said they've been outspent by the A's to this point. They've been outspent by everybody in free agency this year because they had hardly spent any real money, and yet you're going to claim you're dedicated and you care about it just as much as you used to? Of course not.
It was the entire AL West, not just the A's.
Yeah. Known for spending a ton of money.
Right.
The Mariners and the, that's great. But, no, so it shows a little side. Like, you're not going to forget those times. You're not going to like completely let them off the hook for everything that has happened over the last few years. But it doesn't mean you can't be really positive about this move and now expect big things for this move. Also, and they still have those three super premier elite prospects. And what you do with them, we shall see. But you're putting zero expectation and pressure on them for this year. So one, two, or three of them could get called up at some point. One, two, or three of them could be great, or maybe you have to wait a little bit longer. And if you had to wait on them and you didn't have Bregman, or you didn't have Bregman and Crochet, you'd be like, what are we doing? Like, just play them. Whereas at least now, you should have a really competitive season, and then maybe you sprinkle those guys in as well. So, like, that's the formula to win.
No, text line agrees with you. 617-779-7937. It's a great deal. It doesn't backlog your minor league system for guys coming up. So you're going to make these guys force their way in. And if they come up and they don't hit the ground running, that happens with prospects all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, the best prospect in all of baseball last year is Jackson Holliday. I mean, we saw him. He made his debut against the Red Sox.
Mike Trout needed a cup of coffee in Major League Baseball, had to go back down to the minor leagues, and he's one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
So these guys don't, even if they have great careers ahead of them, like, you know, who knows with Jackson Holliday. With Trout, he did. He still needed more seasoning. These guys are going to have to force their way in, and if they come up and they're not ready, they can spend more time in AAA. So that is a nice byproduct of the trade. But getting a guy like Bregman in here, which I think is a marquee move, a guy who's a winning player, a guy who can be a leader on this team, and I think this team, along with Walker Buehler on the pitching side, desperately needed some of that. I don't really see a ton of ways to gripe and complain about the deal. Sure, I'd rather have him at third base than second base. I guess in a perfect world, you know, he's not going to opt out. Maybe the AAV is a little bit lower. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed, and this is just annoyed. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, but I'm annoyed it took so long. But outside of little minor gripes like that, I don't really know what people are complaining about.
You know, it's funny because I think we did, when the offseason began, some of these, like, Would You Rather Wednesdays, and one of them, it probably wasn't exactly this, but you could play it out probably similar. Like,
Werewolves or Vampire?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
And I ended up going Vampire.
Yeah.
Like Adam Schefter, they're sexy. So, no, something along the lines of, would you rather Juan Soto or Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman? And you're like, yeah, big picture, long term, they're like, probably Juan Soto, but not a bad consolation prize.
It's not.
Is a really good potential Cy Young candidate, young starting pitcher, and then a guy that should be really good for a couple of years and kind of bridge the gap for the young guys?
I would still answer that Soto, but you're right. Consolation prize,
bad.
And it's not bad at all. Out of those two moves, Crochet or Bregman, which one's the, what do you think is the more important move, the bigger move for the team, however you want to put it?
So Crochet, still, because he is both the short and potentially long term. If you can lock him up, and can he be a ace, top of the line? And what I also liked about that move is they didn't just say, like a lot of people would try to convince you, hey, maybe Bayo's the number one. Like, no. Like, Houck had like a number one type season. Crawford flash. It's like, no, those guys are fine.
Right.
And if they have good seasons, great. You know,
if they repeat last year, you're going to be way better than we even think.
Like, but Rick Porcello won a Cy Young. So, like, guys can have like one off really good years. But you're like, Garrett Crochet is like a real number one. So they went out and identified that. They also weren't afraid to give up a prospect in order to do that. So I like both moves. I think that's still the better move.
Yeah. To me, I love what the Bregman move represents, potentially. Like a different way of doing business, which I'm not totally sold on, but I'm at least open-minded to the idea that maybe they will start doing business differently. Although they still waited till February, and they still have all these weird opt-outs built in. So are you really willing to spend and prioritize early on in free agency, or are you going to risk over the course of 4 or 5 months losing a player, which they did?
Yeah.
But I'm at least open-minded to the fact that maybe they'll start doing business differently. And they are spending some money, which I'm not going to knock them for. So even though I love what that represents, I'm with you. Garrett Crochet is the more significant of the two moves. So you can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your Red Sox phone calls here coming up. We'll get further into whether the Red Sox are back from a business standpoint and whether or not this is a true shift for John Henry. I know a lot of us want that to be the case. Is it? We can dive deeper into that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we have an emergency key for madness that's on the way next.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Why do you think an alien would wear a wig?
I think for aesthetic reasons.
A Bigfoot murdered 3 guys on a dope farm.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures of you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. It is time for Kiefer Madness, and it's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss with a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of 5-star reviews. The choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com. Jones, we don't find the madness. The madness finds us. And this time, it is a sports-related madness that occurred just last night in an NBA game. No, not the one you attended at the Garden.
No, brag. No.
It was not Celtics Spurs. It was Warriors Mavs, and it included new Warrior Jimmy Butler.
Now he's
Heat culture dead, but whatever you want to call this culture is very much alive in the Bay Area. So unfortunately for Jimmy Butler, the team was wearing their all-white uniforms. They're wearing the all-whites, which aren't great.
No, you would like certainly a darker uniform than this, yeah.
It's not great. And so he was driving to the basket, as it were. And Kyrie Irving, of all people, looked like he was trying to take a charge. And at which point, Jimmy Butler...
He didn't know what he was almost getting himself into, Kyrie.
No, he didn't.
No.
At which point, Jimmy Butler, again, recently traded, defecated into his shorts. And there's no way around it. It's exactly what happened. He went into the lane full speed ahead, unfortunately, you can see it on Twitch and YouTube now.
Yeah, please.
Did he himself yet?
Yes.
Please. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Yeah. If you want to see these soiled basketball shorts, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah, well, it's just proof. Oh, we're not making this up.
Yeah, and if you can't get to Twitch, just picture Paul Pierce in the finals a few years ago. Well, now a decade plus ago.
No.
Picture Paul Pierce's shorts. It's similar, although...
Did he get wheelchaired out, Jimmy Butler? I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah. This is a larger surface area on the shorts than the Paul Pierce incident. This is quite a stain.
He went in there, and he actually had a really nice game, Jones. He had 21 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 poop in his pants. It's also funny. Somebody pointed out to us, because we were talking about this earlier in the show. Somebody mentioned, they're like, go to Jimmy Butler's Instagram page. So we go to Jimmy Butler's Instagram page, and he has like a million stories. He's one of these guys constantly updated, like 10 million followers. Like, he's a good follow.
Yeah.
And at one point, he is at an ice cream place, and he is pointing out there's some collab with him, a coffee place, and an ice cream place.
I was going to suggest maybe he's drinking too much coffee there, because that'll go through you. It's diuretic.
Prior to the game, he was slamming some of his own Jimmy Butler coffee ice cream. slamming that down with some of his buds. They were excited about it, posting about it.
Nice.
Hours later in the game, craps his pants.
Came out the way it came in.
That's right.
That's true. Good
point. How do you live that down?
Good point. You don't. I mean, Paul Pierce still hasn't lived that way. He still gets asked about it years and years later. He gets asked
there
about
it. There wasn't as much evidence, though.
It's like, Paul, you had a great career. Like, you're all favorite and all stuff. This.
Yeah.
But, like, remember the one time you got wheelchaired out in the finals, and then remember the other time where there was poop all over your butt? Or was that the same time?
That
was all the same incident, wasn't it?
Well, when he hurt his knee and then he came back in the finals? Yeah. Talking about that one?
I thought that was all the same incident.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't remember being as visually gross as this one.
No.
There's the Lamar Jackson one where he was like hobbling away.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
when he's like running away?
He's like hot.
Into the locker room?
Yeah, yeah. He's like going to the locker room. They had the camera on him.
Hot.
Like, where's he going? But like, you just got to your new team and they're like, dude, what?
Well, he's an older gentleman, Keith. I mean, he's not young anymore.
All right, this is a very busy NBA trade deadline. I don't need to tell you that.
No.
What is the bigger moment?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis getting hurt in his first game with the Mavericks or Jimmy Butler crapping his shorts playing for the Warriors?
See, I don't like to always go with the obvious, Keith. I think a lot of people would look at Anthony Davis and say, boy, I mean, you could see that one coming. This is a very, very questionable trade. No. Yeah. This is the one that I would like to really dig into.
I kind of predicted that the Warriors were going to be a disaster. This I could not have predicted. This I think like the
no, I don't know how you'd predict
the
this
Warriors
one.
Are done. The Warriors aren't going to win another playoff round.
Yeah,
is in my humble opinion.
It started well, like the first couple of games was going pretty well with Jimmy Butler, then this,
not this.
So
is he all right?
Well, I think the Twitch chat is making a good point. Yeah, that might be a little bit of a mix going on too, which I don't know if that's more alarming.
Jimmy Butler is what everybody's saying. That's where everybody's headed.
No, I think, I think Jimmy Butt-Turd is the one that you missed in there. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's not, I don't want to read those on the air, but.
Oh, my God.
But that's what people maybe hypothetically are saying in the Twitch chat.
It's just not, I don't know. I don't know how you recover. Now, Jimmy Butler, people say he's got that dog in him. That's what they've said about Jimmy Butler.
He used to. It's out now. Yeah, but he had it for a long time. The dog is now gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he brought a scooper, but he is a like an alpha, they say, right?
Yeah, sure.
Tough.
Well,
this is tough.
Or is this one of his tactics?
Oh,
yeah,
real bully ball.
Yeah.
Is this true bully ball?
Yeah, well, there's some of that. So, like, you don't want to guard me, Mark Schlereth style.
Good point.
Yeah, he's whizzing your pants. No one wants to really block you.
They're like, dude. He's like, what?
You're gross. Like, I don't want to play against that guy. But there's also
I never thought of it that way.
You know, you go into prison, Keith, you gotta find the biggest guy and knock him out, right? I mean, that's what you gotta do.
You gotta
act crazy.
I know that's what I would do.
You gotta get in there and act crazy alpha style. Maybe this is an alpha move by Jimmy Butler. You go, oh, Steph, you got all those rings?
Yeah.
People talk about how I never won. Come in here and it's like I'm the crazy guy you don't want to mess with, pooping my pants in game two.
It's a little contradictory because I'm with you on the, you know, kick the biggest guy's ass first day, then they know that you're tough.
Yeah.
Or act crazy and maybe they stay away from you.
Yep.
My tactic, and this isn't one that I thought, is like as soon as somebody touches you, like in the yard,
yeah.
Hopefully this doesn't happen to me. Hopefully
no.
I keep my nose clean. But if I'm ever in the prison, I'm in the yard,
yeah.
As soon as somebody touches me, I crap. Like, that's what, why,
no. Yeah, because they go, that's, you know, because that's going to spread around the prison like wildfire.
Problem is,
that's going to go cell block A to cell block D. They're all going to be talking about
the
it.
The biggest issue.
You know when you touch Rich.
Yeah, you can't do it. You know the new guy? Every time.
You know 11543 when you touch him.
Right.
Pooping his pants.
Problem
and
is,
now you're kind of dealing with that.
They could call your bluff. Because at some point, you're just like,
you're out.
Yeah, so well. So, hey, didn't that time. But no, I didn't think about, like, that's mind games for Butler.
Yeah.
Maybe you're saying,
yeah.
So you're saying he meant to do it.
Yeah.
In a way.
Alpha move.
Maybe the most alpha move. Rather than just like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, you think this is Steph's team? Nah, I don't think so.
No.
No, it's my team now.
Which guy defecated himself on the court? Well, just Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Well. The defense for us. Did anybody ask him about it in the post game?
Because
I've not seen. I saw the video come out. I didn't see any audio about
it. I like to act like the big bad media member from time to time, but I'm not sure I would be able to ask Jimmy Butler about that.
He scares
me a little bit.
This might be a I'm not taking questions kind of game. I might be.
Yeah, was he available to the media afterwards?
Did the Warriors lose? They lost, right?
They lost the game, and it was at Dallas.
Well, I think
got out of there pretty quick.
Can you? Can you fact check me? I think they were undefeated. I think they're still undefeated in games where he doesn't poop himself. The Warriors with Jimmy Butler, I believe, are
2-0.
Yeah, thank you.
Clean, like a legit clean game for Butler. They're 2-0.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then in the poop games,
0-1.
They're winless.
Sadly, 0-1.
Pata, if you're a little late on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, could you get that up there one more time?
Yeah, he's tuning in late.
He's done a wonderful job going through all the workarounds, the various things we had to deal with here behind the scenes on Twitch. So, Brian, great work on this. Put this on your resume. He did a great job efforting to get
TMZ's
this.
TMZ's on
to
this
the
now?
Air. Are they?
TMZ's picked this up?
Wow.
Jimmy Butler, this is the headline. Jimmy Butler's shorts stained during Mavericks game.
Yeah, I'll say
fans suspect poo. Get the headline. Fans are on this.
I'll tell you what. You're awake pretty early in the morning to fool those Warriors fans.
It doesn't really seem like... I love when they say eagle-eye viewers saw it. I don't even have to be all that eagle-eyed.
No, I just need eyes.
I do not have eagle eyes.
You just need... working eyeballs.
There's nothing in there in the whole story about like he was asked about or any kind of follow-ups.
That's just
kind of like they sort of said what happened.
It's a good comment in the Twitch chat. You see the Warriors game the other day, Keith?
No, I didn't.
It was a blowout.
Okay. Okay. Sure was.
Well, there you go. I think this is...
I think you're right. He should spin it as like there's nothing more alpha than this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the move.
He'll be fine.
Well, and then you got to get away from what it's going to do to the coffee brand, because the coffee brand's going to take a hit on this, I would think. So good. I don't know how many people are going to cover the story in quite this way.
This texter says Butler is on the feces. That work?
It works. Probably works better in print.
Yep.
But no one's going to cover it quite this way. Rich Keefe of the stats and info department all over it. 2-0 in games where he does not defecate himself.
That's right.
The Warriors have yet to win in games where
thanks again to Awaken 180 for sponsoring Kiefer Madness. Really appreciate that.
Thank you for climbing aboard
and
attaching yourself to an award-winning segment like this. Yes. So that's an emergency Kiefer Madness.
And that was an emergency, all right. That was.
In more ways than one. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. More on the Red Sox. Is this a new way of doing business? Unlike Jimmy Butler last night. That's next.